Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus. Amen. The word of God for our message today are the words of Jesus from the Gospel, found on page 5 and 6 of our worship folder. Are there any things in your life that you absolutely don't understand, but yet you believe they're true? You know, one of the things that comes to my mind is how in the world did the United States put people on the moon? Have you ever thought about that? A number of years ago, we were in Houston, Texas, and we toured NASA. And one of the things they showed us was the actual command center that was used for the Apollo space flights, including Apollo 11, that in 1969 put Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin on the moon. About a year ago, we were in Florida and we toured the Kennedy Space Center. And I just thought of the contrast. You know, now there's so much technology and all these computers and everything. But back in 1969, there weren't computers. And everything had to be done with slide rulers. Do you even know what those are? You know, most of you probably don't. Those of us who are a little older, we know what a slide ruler is, right? No computers, just slide rulers, math equations. And then they told us that just the slightest miscalculation would have put that Apollo 11 spacecraft off course, and instead of getting into an orbit around the moon, it would have just ended up lost in deep space. You know, I don't understand that. To me, it's almost unbelievable, and I know there are conspiracy theorists who don't believe it happened, and if you're one of those, that, you know, that's your decision, but I believe it happened. Okay, it's simply trust, right? I believe what I was told, even though I don't understand it. You know, there are a lot of teachings of the Bible that are that way too. Can you explain to me how God could create the world in 6 24-hour days simply with the power of his word and saying, you know, let there be light, you know, let the waters and the land separate? I don't understand that. But I believe that's exactly what God did. And again, I know there's people who don't believe that. But that's what God tells me. And of course, I believe that God has the power to do that, even though I can't understand it. I mean, can you imagine saying, well, God can't do or be anything that I don't personally understand? What does that say about God? I don't know what it says about God, but it would certainly make me pretty egotistical, wouldn't it? Or how could Jesus be true God and true man in the same person? You know, and we know that, how Jesus had to be, you know, true God to live a perfect life, true God to rise from the dead, but true man to live a perfect life and true man to die. But there's so many things about that teaching that are so confusing to me. You know, if Jesus is true God, and why did he have to pray? You ever think about that? Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying. Who's he praying to? Well, God the Father, right? But if Jesus is God, well, what, is he also praying to himself? You know, I don't understand that. And what we're going to look at this morning is the doctrine of the Trinity. I don't understand that either. And I know there's all kinds of illustrations that try to explain it, but you really can't explain it how God can be Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but not three gods, but only one. I don't understand it. See, and that's why so much of what we believe are things we accept by faith. Isn't that what God tells us? We walk by faith. and not by sight? Because again, God can do and God can be things that I simply do not understand. So as we look at the words of Jesus today and we talk about the Trinity, I'm not going to try to do the impossible. I'm not going to try to logically explain to you how God can be three persons but yet only one God, so you walk out of here today saying, oh yeah, now I get it. Because that's impossible. But rather what we're going to do is we're going to look at the Trinity from Jesus' words and show how all three persons of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, are involved in the work of our salvation. And that's what Jesus is talking about. Look at how he starts. Jesus says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. We really have to know the context of this. Jesus is speaking these words on the Thursday of Holy Week. And he makes the statement, he says, you know, I have a lot more that I have to tell you, but it's really more than you can handle right now. And just, if you can, go back to Maundy Thursday and Good Friday and think of the information overload that those disciples were getting. You know, they're in that upper room to celebrate the Passover. And while Jesus is there, they see Jesus take a towel, wrap it around his waist, and start washing the feet of the disciples, which was the job of the lowest servant. And Jesus said, well, that's because I have come to serve you. And then he said to them, and as I am serving you, you go out and serve other people. There's a lot of significance to that, right? As far as our lives as Christians and being servants of God and serving other people instead of always expecting people to serve us. And then they sit down to that Passover meal, and Jesus tells them that Judas is going to betray him. And they can't believe it. And then he said, well, not only is Judas going to betray me, but all of you are going to forsake me and flee before this night's over. And they couldn't believe that either. And Peter said, Lord, even if I die with you, I'll never forsake you. And Jesus said, okay, Peter, you're going to deny me, deny even knowing me, three times. Peter didn't understand that either. And then Jesus starts talking to them about his suffering and death, and he tells them, don't let your hearts be troubled. And they said, well, how can our hearts not be troubled? You just told us you're going to die. You just told us you're going to be, you know, arrested, convicted, and nailed to a cross. How can our hearts not be troubled? And what did Jesus say? Just trust me. Trust me that it's good for you that I do this, and it's good for you that I go away. And then he takes that bread from the Passover meal, and he breaks it, and he gives it to them, and he says, take, eat. This is my body. And he takes the wine in the cup and he blesses it and he gives it to them and he says, drink from it. This is my blood. How can they wrap their human minds around all of that? And the answer is they couldn't. And that's why Jesus says, you know, I have a whole lot more I can teach you. But that's enough information right now. You're just not able to bear anymore. You know, it's going to take them a long time to even process what had happened. But then he says to them, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit. See how he introduces the Jesus, the second person of the Trinity, now introduces the third person of the Trinity. And he says that when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. So you've learned enough now, but the Spirit of truth is going to come. The Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to continue to guide and continue to direct you so that you can know all truth. And of course, that's what the Holy Spirit did, right? Last week we celebrated Pentecost, how the Holy Spirit came to these same men, enabled them to speak in other languages, but that wasn't the real miracle. What they spoke in those other languages was the message of sin and grace, right? Convicting the people of their sins, so they said, well, what should we do? And then telling them that sweet gospel message and saying, repent of your sins, believe in Jesus, be baptized, and your sins will be forgiven, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. You'll receive faith. But listen again to what Jesus said. He said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit did not come with a brand new message. What the Holy Spirit did is he reminded them of everything Jesus had taught. He enabled them to understand what Jesus had taught. He told them more about Jesus' life, death, and resurrection and the significance that it had. And then he enabled them to boldly take that message and share it with other people. And he further explains that connection by saying, he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. So again, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is going to come and he's going to glorify my name by teaching you the same thing I taught you, but adding to that information, not new stuff, but helping them understand what Jesus had said. And then Jesus brings God the Father into it. He says, all that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Now, if you're getting a little information overload here, let's just simplify it. How does the Trinity work? Well, first of all, when Adam and Eve fell into sin and destroyed God's perfect creation, God the Father had a plan, right? And that plan was to send a Savior to pay for the sins of the world. And then he sent his son Jesus, and what Jesus did is he came to this earth and he carried out that plan to perfection, right? He lived that perfect life. He gave up that life on the cross for our sins, and he rose from the dead. And then the Holy Spirit came to help us understand it all. And how does the Holy Spirit work? Well, the Holy Spirit works in the heart of those people on Pentecost through the preaching of the word. The Holy Spirit works in our hearts today through the same way, through the preaching of the word of God. Do you see how they're all connected? God's plan that Jesus carried out, that the Holy Spirit makes us understand, so that you and I can sit here today knowing, believing, and trusting in Jesus as our Savior. But sometimes we can be like the apostles, right? You know, we kind of look at the Bible and say, okay, it's information overload here. Have you ever heard someone say, well, the reason I don't read the Bible is because there are so many things I just don't understand. So I don't read it. I just don't understand everything that's there. Well, of course you don't. Nobody can read through the Bible once and say, okay, now I got everything. Now, if your child came home and the teacher is teaching them how to multiply, and your child comes home and says, Mom, I just don't understand this. I can't do it. I just don't understand how this works. And you say to your child, well, okay, if you don't understand it, then I'm just going to stop sending you to school. Or you know what, when it gets to math class, just tell the teacher that you can't understand it, so there's no point in her teaching you anything more. Would you do that? Of course not. Well, when you're reading your Bible and you say there's things that I don't understand, well, what should that lead you to do? Read it more, right? And read more of the Bible. What do you tell your child? Just keep working at it. Listen to what your teacher says. The teacher is saying, I'm going to keep teaching this until these children get it, right? And what happens? Well, eventually they all get it, right? And once they've gotten a little bit of addition, subtraction, multiplication, then what do? They say, okay, now you've got the basic. Now it's long division. And I still remember long division. And then you get done with all that, and now it's algebra. And then it's geometry, right? And then it's calculus. Nobody says, okay, you can add up your bowling score, so that's all you have to do. Well, it's the same with the Bible. Yeah, Jesus said, I have more to teach you, but you don't understand it all right now. But the Holy Spirit will come and he'll guide and direct you and he'll teach you. Well, my friends, that's the way it works for us. We know God's basic plan of salvation, right? Through faith in Jesus. But there's so much more the Bible has to say and to teach us about keeping our faith strong, about how we treat each other, about Christian living, about our priorities in life. And the more we're into the Word, the more the Spirit of truth will continue to guide us into all truth. And that's the Trinity. God's plan that Jesus carried out, that the Holy Spirit through the Word enables us to understand and put into practice in our everyday lives. So see, I don't understand how there can be three persons and one God. Simple logic and math says Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is three, right? And God tells me, no, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is one God. I don't understand that. But the Holy Spirit has enabled us to believe it. I don't understand how Jesus can be true God and true man. But the Holy Spirit has led us to believe it and trust in Jesus for what he's done. So the message for us here is to stay in the Word of God every day and let the Holy Spirit continue to guide you into all truth. Amen.